I'm sorry to say this, but at our closing prayer circle, someone prayed for snow. So, the Lord answers prayers. I'm happy to say that. Today's scripture for the advent of love, John 3:16 and 35 and 36. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So the fourth Advent candle that we've lit today embodies love. It's actually called the angel's candle. And we can picture the radiance of the night sky when a host of angels welcomed the light of the world. We can hear the joy of an angel chorus singing Hosanna, proclaiming the birth of a Savior. As the angel's candle shines for us, it ignites God's light of love in a dark world and in our hearts. And it celebrates the ultimate expression of love in the gift of Jesus Christ. This is the advent of love. So, love's often thought of in a romantic way as affection or emotional attachment that we claim for something or someone that's valued to us. But for Christians, love is more than an emotion. It's actually the defining mark of our faith. We see from Genesis to Revelation, from creation to culmination, the story of God's perfect love can be expressed in 24 beautiful words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That simple, straightforward statement is a wide open invitation to whoever believes, because God's love is no respecter of persons. It is an offer that never expires, and it is a promise that's never broken. It is available for all who come to repentance and faith. As we've read John 3:16, it's perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. And during Advent, it invites us to experience the genuine love of God in greater ways because of the truth and promise that its words revealed. For God so loved the world. But why does God love us so much? Well, because we are his creation, made in his image, his chosen children. And you know, God loves you so much that he sent his Son to redeem you from slavery, to save you from certain death. And even if you were the only person on earth, God would still have sent his Son to die so that you could be reconciled with him, so that you could be made perfect in his righteousness, so that you could be given your forever home in heaven. Yes, God so love the world that he did all these things. He did them because of love, and in fact because he himself is the source of love and the very epitome of love. As we read in 1 John 4:8, God is love. But to say God is love, that doesn't mean that everything's beautiful and perfect and happy and runs along smoothly. It doesn't mean that God is love and that he could not possibly allow punishment and pain to those he loves. After all, he is a just and sovereign God, so indeed, his holiness demands that all sin be punished. Think about God's chosen people in the Old Testament and how he dwelt with them through cycles of growth and gain, and yet how he dealt with them in times of disobedience and discontent. Yeah, God of love must also be a God of justice in order to make his actions consistent and meaningful. It's just like the parents of children. It was exactly because God's love for man was so intense that he gave his son so that man would not have to face judgment, because the penalty had to be paid either by each sinful heart or by one heart big enough to provide liberty and justice for all. So to summarily prove his justice, tempered by his love, God provided a plan of salvation for a lost and sinful world. And that was the advent of love. By that plan, Jesus came from heaven on high to a dark world below to give his life as the final and perfect sacrifice for sin. God never stopped in his pursuit of what was best for his people because it pleased him to bring to mankind what mankind needed most, a savior, a sacrifice. Titus 3, verses 4 to 6. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Every one of us has wandered away from God. And because of that, every one of us deserves God's punishment, his judgment. But instead, as a gift of love, Jesus walked in our blackest sinfulness so that we could walk in his brilliant righteousness. When Jesus hung on that cross, all the chastening, the scourging, the punishment that we deserved fell on him. He suffered physically, emotionally, and spiritually. As fully God, yet fully man, Christ's human heart experienced anguish. So, yes, he completely understands our human grief and sorrow. He sees those who are going through periods of pain and bouts of brokenness. He is perfectly aware that some are approaching their first Christmas without one of their beloved ones. He knows that for some, this will be the very last Christmas they celebrate. Even at Christmas, especially at Christmas, it is painful to experience loss, loneliness, and sadness. Statistics say that loneliness is the leading cause of suicide, which, if you didn't know, is now the third greatest killer of students in the United States. It can take many forms, including loneliness of social isolation, suffering, sorrow, guilt, and judgment. And you know what? All of us at some time feel a loneliness, a longing for God, because man was made for relationship with God. I read in a Billy Graham devotional last week that one of the growing psychological problems facing people today is loneliness. Many people are longing not only to be loved, but to have someone who will listen to them. When we love God with all our hearts, then we have the capacity to love others by God loving through us. I thought that was beautiful. And we know, statistics also show that loneliness is the leading cause of dementia, Alzheimer's. And we know that emotional and mental well-being shows we need compassion and caring. We need love and affection just as much as we physically need food, shelter, and water. Infants have died from emotional and sensory deprivation, from absence of attention. This lack of love and affection causes failure to thrive. And because emotions can trigger physical responses, people have actually died of a broken heart. Yet there is one as close as our very breath who loves us beyond compare, who spoke our name in our mother's womb, calling us to him, cherishing a hope that we would someday respond to his love, for God so loved the world. There is a distinct word for the benevolent and charitable love that God displays. You've probably heard it. In the Greek, it's the word agape. It refers to love given fully and joyfully, seeking nothing in return, but seeking the very best for the loved one. That love costs us nothing and is freely given and comes with everlasting grace. Look at 1 John 4:10, as in our opening today. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loves the unlovable and the unlovely. He loves us all, saints and sinners, not because we deserve to be loved, not because of any excellence we possess, but because it's his nature to love, and he must be true to his nature. In the Old Testament alone, we find reference to his steadfast love over 200 times. That makes it pretty important. It's the same steadfast love that Paul extols in Romans 8:39. Insisting that nothing will separate the believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we have faith in the perfecting love that God has for us, when we trust in his plan for us, when we obey his commands to us, and when we abide in his love for us, then we can be confident for the day of final judgment without fear. Jesus told us that God's encompassing love is why he holds us in his hand and will never let us go. It's why Jesus prays for our relationships with each other, that they will carry the same essence as his relationship with his Father. The character and quality of this love is steadfast because God is the enduring source and the unchanging standard of love. And truly it is because we have received God's impassioned love that we can love him in return and reflect that divine love to others. Receiving the gift of Christmas isn't just receiving God's love. It's receiving God's Spirit that gives us a new power and potential to be loving and forgiving to others. Did not Jesus say in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another"? We are all invited to share this love and to sacrifice for it. Even if we're not called to mission fields or prison ministries or preaching or frontline service, our opportunities to serve, to love, to show compassion are limitless. The very simplest of ways, kind words and deeds can lift burdens and cheer hearts and encourage downcast spirits. Romans 12:10 directs us to love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Notice all the positive references in that verse. Love, affection, delight, honor. It's because love is a positive, active force. It offers something to the loved one. If there is need, love tries to supply it. If there is weakness, love supports it with strength. If there is darkness, love seeks to brighten it. Love is a light that brings spiritual illumination because its foundation is in God, who is love, and in Christ, who gave that love. Sacrificial love. Because love needs to cost something. You may have heard the expression used by Mother Teresa: for love to be real, it must cost, it must hurt, it must empty us of self. That's how Jesus demonstrated his love for the Father and his love to mankind, by complete obedience to the Father that compelled him to die in our place. Sacrificial love. Just as we recognize in these words from Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus brought the redemption plan down to just one word: love. Love was so much a part of our Savior and Redeemer that he placed it first in importance of all the commands. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. That kind of love is the only appropriate response to the one who made us whole in our brokenness, who healed us in our suffering, and who snatched us from the jaws of death by his own sacrificial love. Love is a powerful practice that can motivate us to give more generously, live more selflessly, and care more deeply than we ever thought possible. God's love comes to our consciousness in body, mind, and soul. It has been poured into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Yes, we understand the true meaning of Christmas is love. And as we light our way through Advent, we aren't just celebrating the birth of a Savior. We're rejoicing in the gift of love that gave each of us a path to new birth, new life, new hope, and new joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Christmas began in the heart of God. It is complete only when it reaches the heart of man. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, in this Christmas season, may we dwell in your love that was made manifest in the Christ child. May we honor the ultimate sacrifice that he made for our sin so that we may have eternal life. May we be especially conscious of the poor and suffering, reaching out in compassion and caring to a lonely world, sharing the love that your Spirit has placed in our hearts. May that love continue to grow in quantity and in quality so that we are able to love much and love well as your word commands. This we ask in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.